This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner's Wes Durham. Tons of guests, thousands of things to talk about. Hope everybody had a good weekend. Mr. Durham, how are we doing?
I'm good, Pack. Great to be with you. It was an exciting weekend. We're now to the final week of the regular season in men's basketball, and we got ourselves a tournament bracket on the women's side, and we got wrestling, we got baseball, we have lacrosse, and I'm sure we'll fall into one or two other things before we're done at 10 o'clock today.
Well, there's no doubt about that. We had fencing championships over the weekend. We crowned all kinds of champions, indoor track and field.
There you go.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was a full plate this weekend. Before we get started today with all these great things we're going to talk about, I told you last week, a big birthday week in the Packer household. So happy birthday to dear old mom, Barb Packer, today, having a big bash. Big bash. We had a big celebration. She and Billy rolled over here on Thursday night. We did the 2-for-1 special dinner at our house, cupcakes, bread pudding, all that stuff, their favorites. So happy birthday, Barbara Packer.
Ooh.
It is an awesome, awesome day. And maybe, just perhaps, Billy's got to go to Old Bow and you can have the whole day to yourself. Total perfect day for Barb. Be a perfect day for Barb. Billy out of the house.
send Billy packing. That's a perfect day.
For Barb, peace and quiet. The only thing missing is a visit from Chester and Fuller. She loves Chester. So maybe if we get Billy out of the house and Chester, we'll make a road trip sometime between shows today. And there's Chester, sound asleep over here on the green room. Big boy down here by my feet. The boys, you know, we were in your town in the ATL this weekend. So the boys had, they were sniffing and playing with dogs all weekend. So they are exhausted. I mean, they are just, I could slide them underneath the door. They are whipped. So look at them. I mean, they've been like this since we brought them home yesterday. Look at them. I could unleash a dozen squirrels in here. I think they would move. Look at them. Fuller, you all right? I mean, they didn't even respond. Chester, you okay? Then he moved. I'm telling you, they're out. There's Fuller.
Finally woke up. Yeah. All right, big boy. We're all
right. Oh, there's Fuller. Fuller made a move.
Yeah, his head
football
moved.
Way to go, Fuller.
That's it. So that's the boys. But big time in Atlanta this weekend. Ran into a number of people that big fans of the show, so we appreciate your kindness. In the ATL, so it was a good weekend, man. Good road trip this weekend, really good.
Yep, nice to hear. I hope everybody's well down here in your part of the world. It's a bigger city, Pack. I know you got to be careful when you're in Atlanta. You know, stay on your toes now.
You know, I'm not telling you I want to live in the ATL, but it was just a great. We stayed at the St. Regis, and I got to tell you now, that was 5-star. You know, I'm talking about chocolates under your pillow and everything. It was nice, man. I got to tell you that, big man.
They parked the truck for you?
I will tell you. I will promise you this. We rolled into the St. Regis, Friday afternoon, because I took Friday afternoon off from the radio. And I will promise you the 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I promise you, the red Ford F-150 2010, getting around 100,000 miles with a couple dents in it, was the only pickup truck that was valeted at St. Regis the last 3 days. That, I will bet
sure
a year's salary.
I'm sure it was.
That there were no other Ford F-150s being valeted at the St. Regis over the last 3 days. And I took a great deal of pride in that. Park it right there beside the Maserati and the Porsche and the Bentley. And, hey, don't scratch the Ford F-150. You hear me? I got another $10 in it for you if you don't scratch the Ford F-150. It was nice, though, man. Good time in Atlanta. Josh Pastner country.
Imagine the comfort and, you know, just sheer style that the valets who get out of the Rolls Royces, the Bentleys, the Maseratis, Porsche, high-end BMWs and Mercedes, to hop into the Ford F-150 with nearly 100,000 miles on it and realize that the radio works by hand, not off the steering wheel.
That's right. And by the way, Mrs. P had she had her Sirius XM country stations cranking all the way down the Dixie Highway now. So, you know, when they got in the valet, the Ford F-150, they had to tune down Kenny Chesney's whatever channel Mrs. P loves listening to, because I was concentrating on the traffic down there, so I was trying to zone all that out. But nevertheless, good time in Atlanta. But now, let's get to business.
All right, well,
let's get to business, because there was serious basketball this weekend in the ACC.
Well, let's start Saturday afternoon, because two of the ball games on Saturday afternoon maybe were two of the better ball games we've had all year in the ACC. Let's start in Chapel Hill. Carolina, eerily similar to a 1993 comeback against Pat Kennedy's Seminoles. The Tar Heels rallied from a halftime deficit and at times a double-figure deficit into the second half. But they made an early run at the start of the second half, got it back to single digits. And Carolina comes from behind to win 78-70, ensuring Roy Williams of his 900th win. But Walker Kessler goes for 20 in the game. And really, I thought his performance and momentum a little bit sparked the rest of the guys in the white jerseys on Saturday at Smith Center to get Carolina the victory. An impressive win for Carolina, a much-needed win. Kind of puts a flag in the ground for the Tar Heels to the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, before they ever get to Greensboro.
100% agree. That's why Saturday was so important for North Carolina. And Wes, there was a time late first half, MJ Walker made a shot right in front of Roy Williams, and you're thinking, man, you look at the scoreboard after a 5-0 lead, Florida State's up there by, 16? And you're thinking, yikes, this thing could get out of control. North Carolina better respond. And boy, did they, right? They cut it to 12 right before the half. And then the second half might have been the best 20 minutes North Carolina played all year long. And listen, you beat Florida State by 20 in 20 minutes, you're balling, because this is a really talented group that was feeling good. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, Florida State stunk from the get-go. Like I said, they're up 16, and since they're about ready to run you out of the gym.
Right.
Like, for the first time, North Carolina's got folks in the stands. That had to be an energy level too, even though it wasn't 21,000. But I'm with you 100%. Mm. This was a game for North Carolina after the Marquette game. We talked about this on Friday. You better play with your hair on fire. This is one of those games, if you're North Carolina, you better go against BPI and win at home. And, man, that second half effort, that's as good as I've seen North Carolina play in a long time, that last 20 minutes. They were outstanding. Tremendous.
Yeah. Their tournament chances went from 82% to 92%. With a loss, it would have fallen to 73%. But Pack, let's go back to something you said last week here. Carolina needed that because they needed a win, number one, over a ranked team, but they needed a quad one. They needed something like that going down the stretch to kind of solidify what their season has been and, in some ways, their improvement over the course of the regular season.
Yeah, they were 1-6 in quad ones going into that game. But I think even more important, Wes, is that you looked at the big picture of, hey, I mean, forget about winning the regular season. That's not in conversation. Florida State controls their destiny. This was all about making sure the last week doesn't become a headache, right? North Carolina plays at Syracuse tonight. So you had to get that Marquette taste out of your mouth. That was a bad loss. Can't emphasize late. When you lose to a team in triple digits in the net at home, that is a horrific loss. That's given away a lot of the stuff that North Carolina had built up, I thought, in February when they were trending upwards despite the road trip to Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have one of those games where you said, guess what? Wednesday was just a blip. That's not who we are. Saturday was who North Carolina is all about, right? You're taking on a big-time team. You're at home. The pressure is on to basically hold serve, and you're down 16, and now you find out what the character of your club is. I can't emphasize again enough of how important that last 20 minutes was to North Carolina. Big picture, it makes this week manageable, right? It makes this week not a sweat, even though you're at Syracuse and big, bad, mighty Duke comes rolling into Chapel Hill. Even if you go 0-2 this week, I think North Carolina's fine, but you had to get that win Saturday to kind of alleviate some of the stress of this week.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. And so, as you mentioned, you've got the Carolina trip to Syracuse tonight. You got the Duke game Saturday night, and then the ACC tournament for the Tar Heels. The sidebar to the ball game, and that's the way he would want us to tell you, is that Roy Williams became the fastest in 900 career wins on the Division I level. He's the fifth men's basketball coach all time to reach 900 wins. joining Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Jim Calhoun, and Bob Knight. So congratulations to Coach Williams, and a nice moment on the floor after the ball game with his team.
900's a big number, my man. I tell you what, you win 900, you know what you're doing. And every time I see that number, I just think about guys like, you know, Bob Huggins is about ready to hit 9, and he's not even a Hall of Fame, which is almost laughable. But this dude's had some kind of career, man. You know, you talk about banners, got those championships. Oh, yeah. Yep. Click, click, click. Guys are great. One of the all-time best, period. And, you know, again, he's got a game today. He's not hosting the show. We'll let him slide since it's on the road. But just saying, you know, Roy said, he hosts the show on game days. He said, we win this one, I'll be back every time. Well, okay. Now, he didn't come back for Marquette. Didn't work out so well. He'll play tonight. But the fact it's a road game, we'll let Roy slide on hosting today. But congratulations to Coach Roy Williams. 900 W's. That is a ridiculous number.
No question. And Carolina, we already mentioned, snapped the win streak or losing streak against AP ranked opponents going back to last season. Here's the other thing. And Walker Kessler's fourth straight double-figure game, featuring 20 points and four blocks. Man, is Carolina going to throw another big on the fire against opponents now?
Sure, why not?
And again, long-form situation here, taking the whole regular season for Kessler to develop and get confidence and kind of have a sense of purpose. But are we now to a point where Carolina's going to have Bacot, Sharp, Brooks, and Walker Kessler?
Their front court. Hey, Wes, their front court's, I think they've got the best front court in the country. Period. They've got four bigs, and every one of them can play. And the freshmen are getting better and better and better. And I think, one of the notes I saw from North Carolina from Steve Kirshner was that this is the first time ever since Dirt that North Carolina had four double-digit scores, and they were all freshmen. Every single one of them since Dirt. So let that marinate a second. So North Carolina's bigs are really, really talented. And, you know, the thing that was also amazing about the way North Carolina won the game was how they were not really great in terms of the turnovers. I mean, the first half, they had, 15, 14 turnovers? And, of course, got much better in the second half. They played great in the last 20 minutes. But you think about, you know, didn't particularly shoot the ball well, had a ton of turnovers, and still beat Florida State. That's hard to do. But I just, you know, North Carolina's win Saturday was huge. And if we were doing accounting today, given what happened, accounting would look very different today than it did when we unveiled it on Thursday. But I'll also point out, BPI started with a North Carolina win, flip-flopped to a Florida State prediction, lost big game. And I just see right there on the screen, BPI, Syracuse, 55% chance to win. That is great news for North Carolina fans tonight as they get ready to go to the Dome. Because when BPI jumps on you on a big game, you ought to be BPIL. That's what it ought to be. BPIL. That's what it ought to be. Because BPI loses every big game it looks at. They can give you one where, hey, you know, Virginia's going to play Miami tonight. What's BPI? 90%? We got that. But I'm talking about giant games. You go BPI, fake left, go right. You know what? You'll get that Italian villa before you know it. Just saying. Stop me when I'm wrong. Hey,
we
Wes,
got plenty
Wes,
more to go.
Wes, by the way, stop Seth, me if right. I'm wrong. I have been bringing this up for the last couple of weeks because it's grabbed my attention. And every big game, BPI is not in the neighborhood of getting one right. And I'm terrible at picking games. Let me emphasize, I am terrible at picking games, and I'm mocking it. So what does that tell you?
It's not been good.
It stinks. Not been good. It stinks. You know what I'm doing. You know what I'm doing.
Seth Greenberg is here.
I am going to force the faces of BPI to. I'm calling them out because it's so clandestine up in Bristol. Now we're down in our basements and our homes, respectively. They don't allow us in Bristol. We don't get to go to the campus. So I'm kind of going to call them out. I want them to emerge to identify
for
themselves.
A lot of reasons, but yes.
I'm really calling them out, and I'm going to force them out of just, this guy keeps ripping us on ACC. I am. I want to find out who these people are. Nobody wants to tell anybody who BPI is. Nobody knows who they are. I don't think they exist. Whole thing's a fraud. I'm done.
Oh, great. Great. Now we're going to go to break. Is it okay if we get to break so we come back and talk about Georgia Tech's win over Syracuse and what a fantastic game Duke and Louisville had the other night, by the way.
Told you. There were two giant games this weekend. We told you. There were two headliners. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, Florida State, BPI got it wrong. Louisville Duke,
yes,
BPI got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the two headliners. And we're going to talk about all of them, though.
Right.
Today, between now and 10 a.m.
Yeah. Seth Greenberg joins us at 8 o'clock. Brad Brownell of Clemson at 9:30. The Tigers have answered one of our big questions on this program, by the way, over the weekend. But when we come back, Georgia Tech adds another notch to their success in the month of February and sets up a huge game tomorrow night in the A when we continue.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham is brought to you by Dish. Tuned into you.
Dish already. Sponsors galore by 7:20 a.m. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, one big game we've covered. North Carolina, huge win against Florida State. Number two headliner, Duke Louisville. As we said on Friday's show, Wes, the loser of this game will be a topic on Monday's show. Terrific game, overtime, truly. This was a coin flip if there ever was one. You look at stats, the way the game was played, back and forth. Louisville big lead, Duke comes back, takes a lead, back and forth down the stretch. This was a terrific basketball game.
Yeah, it was. It was unbelievable how great. And you had runs, right? You had the sequencing in games that you typically get, right? Somebody runs to a 2-3 possession advantage, then the other team comes back. But the game got into the final 2.5 minutes, and that's when, you know, the real momentum clicked in. Before we get to the details of the end and free throws by Carleek Jones and, you know, all that stuff, here's the deal. Jones and Matthew Hurt themselves were worth the ball game.
Yeah.
No offense to the other eight guys on the floor. Clear them off. Let Matthew Hurt and Carleek Jones go to work. Going to be tough to keep both of them off of first-team All-ACC. Matthew Hurt has really played well in the last 2 weeks, especially to help the Blue Devils kind of in this move that they've made. However, the game itself, Pack, Louisville gets the win, 80-73. It's the fifth overtime game in the ACC, by the way, so far this season. And to me, Louisville doesn't guarantee. They still would probably need to finish strong. But Duke is now way in the soup now on the NCAA tournament. This now requires Coach K's utmost attention, as they say. Not that he wouldn't already be giving it to them, but I think the Blue Devils now are win potentially all the way through Greensboro.
I think so. But I said that 2 weeks ago, Wes. I thought they had to be kind of a Greensboro thing. And have they played better? Without question, Duke is playing much better. But that was why I said the loser of this game would be a topic on Monday's show, because Louisville needed it. Louisville still got work to do this week. Now, they're in the dance because they won. Duke lost, and now you kind of feel like, boy, Hill got real steep for Duke, and it did. Can they get in? They can still get there, but that loss hurt big time, and that was why it was such a big deal. And the fact that BPI had Duke as a favorite was, again, great news for Louisville going into it, and they proved it.
Well, Duke is 3-8 in games decided by less than 10. They have not lost a conference game by double digits. You know, so they're in the neighborhood. It's not like the Blue Devils have fallen off the line, but it's going to be very, very interesting to watch this go down the stretch. Now, Louisville, by the way, Brian Ives, BP Ives, offers this one to you, Pac. Louisville joins North Carolina and Maryland as two of the schools to win consecutive games at Cameron this century. Just three of them. Louisville, Carolina, and Maryland. And that's the word from our man BP Ives.
Well, you know, Duke doesn't lose much, period. Right? Home, way, neutral. I mean, they're one of the blue bloods mm-hmm. for a reason. They put those big banners up in the corners of arenas. So, you know, hey, when you win at Cameron, I don't care if there's not a soul in the building. It's hard to do because the other guy's pretty good. They're well coached. They got good players. But I'll get back to Matthew Herter a second. I mean, you put a 37 spot up. He was and has been fantastic down the stretch. I mean, really great. And even when Jalen Johnson returned, we talked about how that was going to have to figure itself out. Well, it did figure itself out when Jalen Johnson took his ball and went home.
Mm-hmm.
But Matthew Herter, and again, Williams inside. I think Duke's freshmen have improved. We're talking about North Carolina's freshmen improving as the year goes on. That's absolutely been the case for Duke, too. And, of course, we know what's coming up Saturday. Duke at North Carolina, which now really feels like almost kind of a must-win for Duke going down the stretch. But this was such a critical game for the Blue Devils to kind of keep building and getting up over the hump in terms of the bubble. But you lose late, especially against a good team. You know what? You will suffer the consequences. And that's exactly what's happened to Duke as we head into the last week of the regular season.
All right, let's go to Joe Lenardi. Of course, he's in charge of brackets. Man never sleeps this time of year at ESPN. He was on ESPN Radio and talked about the Blue Devils being down to 30% in terms of a chance to make the NCAA tournament.
Now we're talking must-win territory, I think. We're at least adding to the three-win total that would have to come against increasingly harder competition in the ACC tournament. So, yes, Duke didn't drop much yesterday from 69 overall to 70, but that was on the front side. On the back side, there's not much difference between them and the wall.
Not much difference between them and the wall. Can I write that one down in a second? I don't believe I've heard Joe ever use that line before. So, Duke, there's not much difference.
I think we're going to need
Duke
that one in the...
And the wall. I'm going to write that one down in ink, by the way. Not pencil, ink. Duke and the wall.
Yeah.
I'll be back with you in a second, Wes. I'm going to write that one
down. I think we're going to put that one in the Packer and Durham quote file. Can we put that in the Packer and Durham quote file?
Yeah, I'm putting it on my... Hey, when it hits the show notes, it's locked and loaded. Right here. Show notes. Duke and the wall. Joe Lenardi. I know this
Not much difference... Yeah. Between them and the wall.
Duke and the wall. Okay. All I know is they better win out this week. That's what I know. That I 100% guaranteed, 100 BPI percent guaranteed, they better win out this week. You just can't lose anymore, Wes. I mean, you have put yourself in.
Hey.
By the way, the monsoon
can
is
we
just
put hit. Right sure. there?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. We had ours about an hour and a half ago. Can we put right there at the bottom on the graphic, right there, according to Joe Lenardi, could rather than Duke : NCAA tournament odds down to 30%, can we just put there, quote, not much difference between Duke and the wall?
Yeah, I don't even know what that quote. See, here's the thing I've got. Like, and Lenardi's the bracketologist, and that's a whole different division of BPI, I guess. I don't know how that bracketology thing works. Bless you. What you got? Wes has a book.
He's the bracketologist, all right.
No, I know that. I know who
he is.
Right
there it is. Huh? Yeah.
But what I was going to say is...
Available from Triumph Books, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I got that the other day, too. I was going to say, the 30%, what does that mean? I mean, what's the difference between... Odds are down. You're either in or you're out, right? It's 50. It's not 30. It's 50. You're either in or you're out. What's the difference between Duke's NCAA tournament odds are down to 20%. Wait a minute. You're either in or you're out. To be in, you got to win games. So that number to me, I don't even understand that number. Tournament odds are down to 30%. Well, I know they're down to 5%. What's the difference? You're either in or you're out. So I don't know. The whole Duke and the wall thing, that's the first I'd ever heard that line. We're going to go with that instead of 30% because I don't understand it. Don't understand.
All right. Let's pivot to Atlanta, shall we? Let's pivot to Atlanta.
Jackets
are Blue Devils, we know, back up against the wall in Atlanta tomorrow night. Why is that significant? Because looky who's rolling. Since the Nick Honor shot to lose at Clemson, Georgia Tech has not missed a beat, Pack. Jackets 84-77 against Syracuse. Had a big lead early, trailed at the half, second half run, sparked again by your guy Moses Wright. Jordan Usher had a dunk that's one of the five best in the ACC this year, perhaps.
I think Georgia
Tech. Just amazing.
I think Georgia Tech's a scary team because they're one of the few teams with experience, and they've got guys that can beat you. It's not just one guy, right? I mean, like when you play Duke, Matthew Hurt can light you up like a Christmas tree, right? When he put a 37 spot on Louisville. Georgia Tech's got like almost like every game could be Moses Wright, could be Jose rocking and rolling. Usher can make shots. DeVoe's been really good. Georgia Tech's got experience, and they just seem to have a little swagger to them. That game tomorrow is really, really going to be fun because Duke's got to win. And Georgia Tech is playing as well as anybody in the league. Seriously, they're playing with a ton of confidence. They've won four straight, and life is good in the ATL.
Yeah.
Now, I will just say this real quick, Wes. According to the net, I'm going to give you more numbers to make your head explode. According to the net, the four best teams in the ACC, according to the net, this is the NCAA's BPI version of whatever that is. Florida State's one, Virginia is two, Clemson is three, Georgia Tech is four. Those are the four best teams in the conference, according to the net. Just saying.
Ooh.
Just let that marinate a second.
All right. Jackets on the move, huh?
Just saying. I think Georgia Tech's a dangerous team. I think in the ACC tournament, if you're looking for somebody that's not named Florida State or Virginia, I think Georgia Tech is a team that could cause you problems. Their guards are good. They can make threes. Moses Wright's playing great, and they've got experience. If you're looking for a quote-unquote dark horse, that would be my pick.
I don't disagree with you. The only thing I would say is this. They have no proven interior player other than Wright.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
I know he is, but I mean, I'm just going to throw something at you here. Neutral floor, foul trouble, West Coast whistles, whatever you want to come with. It doesn't matter. But I mean, that's the only real hesitation I have about the Jackets is behind Moses Wright, they don't have much at all. Now, Usher fights like crazy, and the guy is uber athletic. But they are having a harder time against bigger teams. Like, they beat Carolina the first time, but I think they got Carolina going up and down the floor, and Love and Davis, and that crowd wasn't very experienced at the time.
So that didn't
count? Now, though, we're just talking about Kessler, Baycott, Brooks, and Sharp.
No, I get that. North Carolina's bigs are great. I just said they got the best front court in the country. But we do keep score, Wes. I mean, you know, you can give me if it's all about whistles.
And, you're right.
Well, I can give you every team in America. Well, you know, if Gonzaga gets bad, guys get hurt and guys are in foul trouble, Gonzaga's in trouble. I just said as far as a dark horse pick for the ACC tournament, dark horse. I'm not saying the favorite.
Right.
Dark horse. I think Georgia Tech is the scariest of the dark horses, in my opinion, because I think they've got multiple ways to beat you, and I like their experience.
All right. By the way, look at the graphic on the screen. Georgia Tech clinches back-to-back winning seasons in the ACC for the first time since 1990.
It's crazy. I lost that bet. I'd have lost.
That's crazy.
If somebody would have asked me that question 2 weeks ago, I would have.
All right.
That would have been an L, like BPI. That would have been a B pill.
Mm-hmm. All right, sit tight. Packer and Durham continues. We will go to Blacksburg, and we will check in on the Wolfpack. Virginia Tech, a big win at home. NC State, a big win at home. The Tigers and Boston College.
BC.
As well. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Again, Barbara Packer celebrating a big bash. We got games tonight. We got so many sports to cover. We got Notepad, Best and Worst of the Weekend, Seth Greenberg, Brad Brunell, your phone calls, a little bit of everything. It was a great, great sports weekend.
Sure was, and we'll get to all of it. By the way, we'll wrap the basketball weekend here with Blacksburg, Virginia, where the Hokies made it look easy. They beat Wake Forest by 38 points. Keve Aluma was sensational. He was 9 of 11 from the floor, had five threes in the contest. Tyrese Radford had 16 points. Virginia Tech shot 68% and led by 27 at halftime. Whoa.
This is since Dirt. Largest ACC win since Dirt. Wake Forest, the Swiss, the Deeks, ever since that overtime tough loss in Tallahassee, the Deeks have now lost four straight after that game by 24, 18, 21, and 38. Yikes. Yikes. And this feels like a team that's kind of hit the wall, Wes. You know, we've talked about how well the Deeks have at least competed. And it just seems like ever since that Florida State loss in overtime, really, they had the Noles in deep, deep trouble in Tallahassee. Just didn't make free throws late. They lose it in overtime. But ever since that game, Wake has just been – it just looks like they've just hit the wall and, hey, can we get to Greensboro? Just looks that way because every game has just been obliteration. Every one of them. There's no other way to spin it.
And at Pittsburgh on Tuesday night, and then host Georgia Tech on Friday. So there you go.
Well, it's not been pretty, but for the good news in this game, Virginia Tech, after the COVID pause and they got spanked by Georgia Tech on that same floor, that looked more the part. That looked more like it.
And, right.
You know, getting Radford back is huge. He gave you another double digit figure ball game. He's another body that can score toughness. And Virginia Tech, when they get their legs back to them, we'll see how they move forward. But I thought this was at least a good sign because this looked more like Virginia Tech than what we saw last week when Georgia Tech went in there and took care of business.
Yeah. Keve Aluma, we said, five threes, 9 of 11, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks. I mean, he's just had a really, really steady year. And what an impact he's had on this league, right? Goodness.
Outstanding. Terrific.
I'm going to tell you, probably deserves to be on first team. I don't know that he'll make it. I mean, you got Carlique Jones, Matthew Hurt, Justin Champagne. That's probably going to be three spots right there. I mean, Aluma, I hope, makes it. But, man, first team's going to be bananas. I've been saying that for about a month. Okay, let's go to Raleigh. 65-62, NC State holds off Pitt. And this is the first time we've seen Pitt now without Xavier Johnson and Audis Toney, Mark. And early on, they wobbled. But Jeff Capel's team came scrambling back, got it to a single possession a couple times. But DJ Funderburk was sensational. NC State very balanced. Funderburk had 13. Jericho Helms, 15 and 10. Braxton Beverly had 14. Wolfpack trying to kind of keep their balance here and see if they can get this thing to the house a little bit. They scored 23 points, by the way, off 14 Pittsburgh turnovers.
NC State's the exact opposite of Wake Forest, right? both teams about 2 weeks ago kind of reached the point where, hey, what are you going to do? NC State loses their leading scorer. Devin Daniels, I've been impressed with the gumption. Hey, we're going to go compete. They've won four straight games since. Wake Forest, I just told you about what direction they're heading in. And for Pitt, Wes, goodness gracious. Justin Champagne, in my opinion, is the ACC Player of the Year. But the Panthers have lost 8 of 9. Mm-hmm. Their only win, believe it or not, was at home against Virginia Tech. Go figure. But the Panthers have just rolled over and stick a fork in them. I don't know what they're going to do. Wake Forest and at Clemson remain for the Panthers, but they've been a disappointment. I mean, I really was really high on this team a couple months ago, and man, now you just look and see two defections with the opt-out. Champagne's been fantastic, but they just can't win a game. 8 of 9 again. And the flip side, NC State feeling good about life, back to 500 in the league. Give those guys a lot of credit. They have rolled up their sleeves and got to work in four straight wins. And life is good right now in Raleigh, NC.
First time in 3 years for Kevin Keats' team. 12 straight against Pittsburgh for the Wolfpack. That looks weird on paper, doesn't it?
Well, it doesn't.
12 straight wins against Pittsburgh?
Paper, hardwood, thin air, call it whatever you want. You own them. 12 consecutive Ws. That's just ownership is what that is.
Yep. Let's go to Tiger Town. Clemson 66, Miami 58. Tigers had a 6-0 run in the second half and final 10 minutes to finally get the thing to double digits. Hurricanes only made one more field goal the rest of the way. I got to tell you, Clemson made 11 threes, shot 50% from three-point range. And Brad Brownell, by the way, wins his 200th game.
I'm not going to brag or anything, but there was somebody on this show that said somebody by the name of Clemson was going to win 5 in a row. Just saying. Somebody on this show said that.
Yeah.
I can't remember who. Somebody did.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. I don't think it was Drew or Josh. It was Mark Packer.
I'm wrong plenty of times, but I wasn't wrong about this. I just thought the schedule opened up for if Clemson got their defense in house, and they did, because their defense has been terrific. They had a chance to go on a run, and here they are, 5 consecutive wins. They got a road trip to Syracuse, which is certainly winnable on Wednesday, and they close with Pitt. And I just described Pitt to you, so they could very well have 7 straight, possibly, going in the ACC tournament. And Wes, I think to me, the intriguing thing about the men's side right now is, you know, Florida State's lost. They get a little bit closer to the pack. Yeah. Still, they're the team to beat. But this run to the double bye, I think, is the storyline this week in the league. Who is going to get the double bye in the ACC tournament? Florida State is a given. Virginia is a given. Now what? Is it Virginia Tech and Clemson? How about North Carolina? How about Georgia Tech? It's going to be fascinating. And people may say, well, why is it? What's the big deal? Here's the big deal. You got a chance to take 2 days off. You don't have to play. You let everybody beat their head against the wall 2 days prior to you having to play. That double bye is a big deal. And I think there's two spots open for about 4, maybe 5 teams, given how the schedule lays out this week. This could be a fun week. That, to me, that's the storyline this week on our show, is who gets the double bye.
I'm with you on that. And the other part that's interesting about it, too, is the winning percentages. And rather than it just being clean that everybody's playing 20 or 18 or whatever, it's how the winning percentages. Now, it requires a little math, which, as we all know, might be a little shaky for old Wes here. But Clemson is definitely in the mix on the double bye to join Florida State and Virginia, and it looks like Virginia Tech has got at least an inside track potentially to one of those two remaining spots. However, the Tigers, by the way, beat a Miami team that also announced before the game they'll be without Harlan Beverly for the remainder of the year too. And of course, they're at Virginia later tonight on ACC Network as well. Let's pivot to Chestnut Hill. Scott Spinelli, I've known a long time. I think I knew him when he was an assistant at Maryland with Mark Turgeon. I think he's a really good basketball coach who one day is going to be a head coach. But as the interim head coach of Boston College, he took the floor Saturday against Notre Dame, and he was playing uphill. Final home game for the Eagles, by the way. So Spinelli starts a couple of walk-ons, Sam Holtz and Will Jakovits, for their final home game. And then what happens? He gets an inspired, emotional effort from his team, and they win 94-90 against Notre Dame. I mean, look, sometimes the stories can write themselves. Sometimes they've got to be presented to be written, and this one was presented. And, look, I'm not telling you that BC would have beaten Notre Dame if Jim Christian were the coach. That's not the point. But Scott Spinelli's energy and passion to be a basketball coach kind of showed on that floor Saturday with the way Boston College played. So good for him. Jay Heath scored 19, hit some big free throws late. He's expected to join us tomorrow. It's been a long, hard year for Boston College, Pack. Nice to see a moment for the Eagles on Saturday.
Well, you know, we don't root here for the storylines, but I really felt good for BC. And no disrespect to Mike Bray, his kids and everything else, but BC has been through it and then some. Coaching change, COVID, lousy year. I haven't won since January 12th. That's a cool way to go out. And I know it's been a tough year, but at least there's a feel good on a Monday morning here on the show regarding BC basketball.
Yep. There you go. So that kind of sets the table for the men's card. We're going to update you on the women's side, but a quick reminder to you, we've got a doubleheader tomorrow night. We've got a busy week of basketball, men's and women's. But tomorrow night, we'll start at 6 o'clock at the Peterson Event Center. We welcome Mark Wise to ACC Network. He'll join me for Wake Forest and Pittsburgh. And then Duke and Georgia Tech with Dave O'Brien, or with the Reese Davis and John Crispin, rather, tomorrow night. Reese and John back over on ACC Network. The doubleheaders presented by Geico on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, we'll dive into the women's scoreboard and what the bracket looks like for the Greensboro Coliseum in an event that starts Wednesday. And we will do that next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. All right, we just took care of business with the men. Ladies finished up the regular season yesterday, which means we're locked and loaded for the ACC Women's Tournament, which begins on Wednesday coming up this week, Mr. Durham. It is going to be interesting. Really, really interesting.
Yeah, only... no doubt, and only one ball game on Tuesday. We'll show you the bracket here for Greensboro. You can see, of course, the semifinals here on ACC Network. Championship game will be on ESPN2 Wednesday afternoon, Pittsburgh and Boston College in a 12-13 game. The winner gets the fifth seed, Syracuse. And then you see the run for Thursday and for Friday. Really good games, Pack. Like I said, semifinals on ACC Network on Saturday, championship game on ESPN2 on Sunday. So there's a look at the finals, and you see Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, Florida State, the all-value double bye on the ladies' side at the Coliseum in Greensboro.
And
all right, let's get to some of the highlights, and that is, yep.
I was going to say, that double bye is so important. The fact that you can just get off your feet for 2 days while everybody else plays is a humongous advantage. And so for Florida State to get that fourth spot, Wes, yesterday is critical. Mm-hmm. And I can't guarantee you anything as far as W's, but man, I would much rather be sitting in the comfort of home
right
than having to worry about playing a game on Wednesday or Thursday.
No, I'm with you totally on that. Let's go to the highlights from a busy week, busy final weekend, I should say, of ACC women's basketball. Worth a Watch is brought to you by Principal Financial Group, PAC.
Nice. Sponsors everywhere.
And let's start with Let's start with Louisville and Notre Dame. And the great Dana Evans finished with 26. The Cards win their fourth straight regular season title, 78-61. How about that?
Four straight. Pretty impressive. I tell you, the potential of Louisville NC State again looms, but Georgia Tech, Florida State, red hot Virginia Tech got something to say about it, even though the Hokies got beat yesterday.
Yep. So, big win for the Cards, who obviously have a ton of momentum going to Greensboro. Let's go to Syracuse. NC State beat the Orange 68-61. Jada Boyd, 16-10 in the win. Alisa Kunane, 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. I feel tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, Packer and Durham will announce the ACC Women's Basketball Awards. I'm going to guess Alisa Kunane's on that first team with Dana Evans, aren't you, Pack?
If not, we should just shut everything down. We just should close it up like BPI. Just shut her down if those two aren't on first team. Just tell you that right now. Yep. We look forward to announcing the awards tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. That'll be a blast. Always fun.
Absolutely. Yep, it is. And the other ball game, we can show you a clip or two from. Carolina beat Virginia Tech. You mentioned this, 68-63. Deja Kelly, 22 for the Tar Heels. Virginia Tech's six-game win streak is snapped. And Kenny Brooks's team takes a home loss to Courtney Banghart's group. Those are two teams right there.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be very interesting when they get to Greensboro. The other three ball games on the scoreboard. Florida State beat Wake Forest 59-51. We had a lot of optimism about Wake Forest in postseason, and I'm afraid that some of that has waned here in the last 2-3 weeks. Georgia Tech beat Pittsburgh 65-60. They secured that third seed. Miami beat Clemson 68-62. The other notes here, Pack, real quick. The NCAA announced the second reveal of the projected top 16 seeds.
Joke.
NC State was fifth and Louisville was ninth?
It's a freaking joke.
What are we doing?
Yeah, it's a joke. Joke. Neither one on the one line. Louisville's on the three line. Please. Well, get a clue. Anybody in that committee, just watch a game.
Yeah.
Come on, fellas. Not gonna ask much. Just watch some basketball. That's all we're gonna ask of you. Just watch some basketball. Please.
Come on, folks. Come on, folks, right? Let's go. All right. We got to take a break. Looking forward to presenting those Women's Basketball Awards tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, right here on the Packer and Durham program. When we come back, a staple of the Monday show, Seth Greenberg is going to join us. The coach will be here for a half hour, and we got a lot of ground to cover. Walker Kessler and the Tar Heels headed to the Dome tonight over on ESPN with Sean McDonough and Corey Alexander. We will get all of that covered next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.